Well, one today is Thursday, August 7th, 2025, and this is the week in charts. I'm just going to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I continue to do a poor job of getting the word out there, so I need to work harder on that. But every Thursday at 11, God willing, or unless it's a holiday week, I tend to do a show. And you can sign up at daylearner.com/webinar. Or usually on the home page of my website on Thursdays. All right, obviously we're talking about current market conditions, your questions on trading, your favorite stock crypto picks. You can start punching all that in right now. For the methodology in action, I was looking at somebody on Twitter yesterday, and I don't want to take anything away from her because maybe she's legit. I don't know, but she was bragging about how much money she made, which is always a bit of a red flag. But if she was going to show me the actual trades ahead of time and what she did to manage them and how much risk she risked and everything else, then it would be a lot more believable. And I could see, well, wait a minute, she had a $100,000 drawdown or whatever, or I could at least see what happened. And I often worry that when I'm talking about the methodology in action, it could get a little boring, and it probably is. But it's how I actually make money. And then early in my trading career, what I hated was nobody would show me ahead of time what they're going to do it, and then show me that they did it, good, bad, or indifferent. And luckily, and very luckily, I was able to begin to work with someone who was actually doing all these things, and I could actually watch him trade, sort of, and I actually began to help him pick stocks. And I learned a ton from the process, but it wasn't until I actually saw things happening that I gained a lot of confidence in my own stuff and became better and better and better at trading. Anyway, so at the last minute, I put in how to actually make money trading. And this is how I actually make money trading. And I'm going to show you exactly what I do. And 99.9% of the stuff, or at least 99% of the stuff, I show you ahead of time. Anyway, I'm going to continue with my million little things, and I really want to get into a trader's prayer, and that'll make a lot more sense in a minute, and that's going to be something that's going to be really, really big, so I'm just going to kind of scratch the surface and introduce that today, and boy, I think that's going to be a big one, and it's going to dovetail in with a lot of other prior million little things, and that'll make sense in 1 second, and I did want to follow up on what I said last week. There's a few things I was talking about being more of like the meme trader as opposed to buying good companies. And that'll make sense. And again, just 1 minute. Anyways, disclaimer screen. As you know, you can lose money trading. Or as I'll sum it up, all predictions are about the future, and a lot of stuff can happen between now and then. There's all my contact information. Feel free to hit me up or follow me or whatever the case may be. My newest is DaveLearner.substack.com. Really enjoy being on Substack. I'm able to take a lot of my older content, freshen it up, clean it up, make it better, and put it there. And that's one thing that's I've been doing a lot of lately. All right, let's talk about the mystery charts and the methodology in action. Here's a mystery chart reveal. You can see it was in a pretty decent uptrend, and it pulled back. Also, it was persistent and accelerating, and all those good things that I talk about. There's your Landry light. You can see it was a long time before those lows touched the moving average, 60 days or so, as illustrated down below. There's all the parameters, and let's take a look at what happened. Entry's there, stop is there, initial profit target is there. This is the mystery chart. See, I'm showing you ahead of time. So let's see what happened. Well, not much, but no capital was put into harm's way. So I decided to pull the setup because it began to lose a little steam and just started trading sideways and chopping around a bit. And I didn't feel like it was worth going after anymore. So I pulled that one. Now this one is still a mystery chart, or is it? It was in a somewhat gradual trend, then it began to accelerate higher. Those are things that I like. Acceleration, persistency, very important. And then it had a TKO type of move. So I called it a TKO, and that's when it went on to service. And then it pulled back a little further, became a Landry-like pullback. The entry was there. Stop was down here. And initial profit target was up here. So we'll follow up on that one in coming weeks. Good, bad, and indifferent. Oh, actually, this just in. This one is no longer a mystery chart. This is SLDP. It triggered a little while ago. And I'll come back to this one in just 1 second. Fortunately, unfortunately. Anyway, you can see it blew through that trigger very decisively this morning. So far, so good. Put all your college kids' college funds into this one. I'm joking. All right, we have a new mystery chart. You can see it was in a gradual uptrend. Then it began to accelerate higher. Pulls back fairly orderly to the moving average. This is a Landry-like pullback. Parameters are down there. Entry is here. Stop is here. Initial profit target is here. And so far, this one has not triggered. Here's an update on the mystery chart. This is TGen. You can see, again, longer-term uptrend, very persistent uptrend, and lots of Landry light. Pulls back to the moving average. Persistency, as I preach, is a market's ability to go up day after day after day after day after day. One thing I love about teaching is I'm able to see these things unfold, and I learned a lot. I learn a lot in the process. What's the old saying? Watch one, do one, teach one, you know? And as I said before, I remember first time I was in Italy, and this screen was huge, biggest screen I've ever been in front of in my life. And these bars were 3 and 4 foot tall. And I was able to see patterns such as persistency just so clearly in the screen, and made me realize how important even shorter term persistency is. So I mean, this nice long trend started off as a really persistent shorter term trend. So I would urge you to do that. I know I'm a nerd and geeking out on this kind of stuff, but there's something there with persistency. Now, mathematically, it's equivalent to linear regression, but I just like to draw a line through as many bars as possible. Very awesome concept there. Pullback to the moving average. That's a Landry-like pullback. There's all your parameters down below for TGen. Entry was here. Stop is here. Initial profit target is here. Now remember, when you hit the initial profit target, as I preach, we're going to take off half of our shares. So this is on a hypothetical 100K account, but I do mimic these trades exactly as I put them out, unless I make a mistake like this morning, which we'll get to in just a minute. I think admission of guilt is important. That's all part of accountability. I hope I didn't say important like the kids are saying nowadays. Anyway, so 976 open as of yesterday, and it's doing okay today. So that's going to be a little bit bigger number. VG, mystery chart update. You can see the parameters down below. Again, that reoccurring pattern of gradual uptrend followed by accelerating uptrend. That's something I like to look for, as I often preach, and also keep an eye out for bigger picture technical analysis. Not to trade off directly, but if you see a bow tie within a cup and handle or a Landry-like pullback like this within a cup and handle, usually being the key word in that sentence, that's a very powerful pattern because you've got a bigger picture technical analysis type of pattern working behind you. Anyway, pullback to the moving average for a Landry-like pullback. Entry's there, stop is there. Initial profit target is there. So far, not so good. We have a loss of $1,182, and that number is going to be a little bit bigger if I were to mark to market it right now. So far, it's dead money. Should I get out? No. Follow the plan. See what happens. Okay. BTM, the other one's not doing so well. Again, nice gradual trend, accelerated trend. Look at how persistent this move was here, day after day after day after day. Then it really began to accelerate higher, pulls back almost to the moving average. But that's a pullback, right? There are your parameters. Entries here. Stop is down here. Additional profit target is up here. And again, so far not so good. We have a loss of 878. And that's going to be slightly worse with today's numbers. So again, dead money. Should we get out? No. Follow the plan. Let's see what happens. Now, hopefully one of those takes off so I can say, you see. But even if they don't, we've got plenty of dead money examples. A couple this week, in fact. to show that following a plan is the way to go. Again, nice uptrend here. Now, in this particular case, because the stock has begun to move so far, it doesn't look that impressive. But if you were to zoom the chart back or back the chart out a little bit to the day of the trigger, you'd see it looks a little bit better. But nice Landry lights, pull back to the moving average. There's all parameters. Now, this is a defense stock, by the way. Defense has been hot, right? So buy hot stocks. Don't buy good companies. Well, buy good companies if they're also hot stocks. And I'll touch upon that in a second. Entry was there. Stop was there. Initial profit target was here. Now, this is on a hypothetical 100K account. Again, I do take these trades, and I take them across multiple accounts. But I have one account where, like, if I say buy 400 shares or whatever, I'll buy 400 shares of that account. But this hypothetical number here, $1,000, is based on $100,000 account. So we're taking a 1% profit overall, and we're going to let the rest ride and see what happens. Now, when you do get that 1% out, okay, so you would be up $2,000 total, okay? You take off $1,000, and that puts a little money in your account, helps to keep the lights on, as I'll reiterate in a minute, might help to pay for some plumbing problems, et cetera. And then you trail the stop higher on the remainder, and hopefully you're with the stock for a long, long time. How long, Dave? Well, sometimes several years, sometimes even longer. And that's the ideal thing, is to get into a shorter term trade and have it morph, so to speak, through a little money management into a longer term trade. I got an email from somebody recently. He's like, oh, Dave, remember back in the day, 20 years ago, I'm more of an investor now. I'm no longer a trader. It's like, well, I'm an investor too. As Greg Moore says, what he named his book, he invests with the trend. Okay. And so I'm an investor, but an investor with the trend. And I don't want to be in and out like a rat going for the cocaine. I'm guilty of doing those things. Don't get me wrong. But as far as a core methodology, I want to stick to the plan. I want to follow the trends. I want to be taking those partial profits and then trailing that stop higher in the remainder. So we had 2340 open on the Katos. Now this one's getting a little choppy, a little sideways, a little dead money, right? But we're going to see what happens. And keep in mind, on 100K, so 1,000 plus 2,300, that's a 3.3% gain overall with just one stock. So that's not bad. So again, becoming a little dead money in here, but that's okay. We're just going to follow the plan. Here's KGC, which is a gold stock. Gold was hot. Gold was not hot for a while, or went sideways for a while, then it took off again. So again, another testament for following the plan. We got in way back here. It was kind of a double top knockout type of pattern, Landry light pullback and other stuff. You can go in and watch the, if you go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Dave Landry, there's the methodology in action series. And I cover all these before we get into them, so you can see what I was thinking and all. Also, you can go to, while you're on YouTube, if you go to the core methodology playlist, my core methodology trading service playlist, you can look at all these trading services. So the day I recommended KGC, you can go back and see what I recommended on that day. And the day I recommended some of those turds, you know, you can see that too. And then you can go to DaveLearner.com/archives to look at them longer term. So the newer ones are newer, probably like a week old, depends on how everything triggers and shakes out. It'll be on YouTube. And then the older ones, DaveLearner.com/archives. It's amazing. I'll get like a dozen emails from somebody thinking about joining the service, and they'll go through all the due diligence and checks and ask me 1,000 questions, you know, like, well, are you going to quit doing this someday? I'm like, well, yeah, someday, yeah. But I mean, I've been doing it for 20 years or however long it's been. I don't see any reason to stop in the near future, because it's providing me with analysis that I get paid to do and I'm forced to do. It forced to follow, though I don't always follow it, as I'll show you in 1 second, a little admission of guilt again. So yeah, I'm going to keep doing this, and then they'll join, and then like they'll look at years of recommendations and stuff, and they'll go through all this stuff, and it's like, okay, you know, this guy's done his due diligence. I think we might have a solid client here for many years to come. And I do have some clients that have been with me for decades, believe it or not. Anyway, you know, a few days later, they quit. You know, it's like people just don't think in longer term, and they don't they expect just to make money right away, like all the YouTube gurus in their Lambos or rented Lambos or rented jets. They never go anywhere in these jets. They always just sit on a tarmac with the jet. But anyway, that's another story altogether. It's not a get rich quick deal. It takes time. And it might take 6 or 8 months to catch a good trend like we're in now. It's like these are the ones that we have been waiting for. And you chip away at it, chip away at it, chip away at it, and then bam, you get into a nice trend like this. And I hate to use the word hope, but hopefully ride it for a while. And if this trend continues, we should do just fine. And if you go back and watch a couple of weeks ago, I did the peak to trough analysis. So the market had a pretty bad spill early this year. Went into a bear market, technically went into a bear market, or certainly dipped into that bear market territory, which the media defines as 20%, and then it subsequently recovered. Well, we made money on the way down. We made money on the way back up. Now, we lost a little bit when it started going down, and then we lost a little bit when it started going up. And that's like the hokey pokey. That's what trend following is all about. Anyway, the initial profit target was up here, and you can see that this was probably one of the mother of all dead money reports. That's about 2 months, just kind of eyeballing that, where you're slightly profitable for the most part, but you're not making any forward progress. And I guarantee you that most people would have given up during that period. I would have probably given up during that period had I not had this trading service to follow, okay? And you to report back to him, me following it. Anyway, so finally it hits that IPT. After all that dead money, again, your stop goes to break even. And then as of this snapshot, there was 2020 open. So again, about 3% overall on the account. TFPM, another one of these gold stocks. Entry was there, stop was there, initial profit target here. Now, initially we made a little money here and then we started losing money, okay? And if you go in and watch the prior methodology of that in action, I'll walk you through all that drawdowns and having to wait through it and just let things unfold. Again, I know, easier said than done. Anyway, so $1,000 bank, 476 open, so that's 1476 total in profit. So far, so good on that. When it's up a couple of bucks today, so that number is going to be a little bit better. And again, like I said a second ago, it was dead money back there, and look, it became dead money again. And what's happening today? Does it always come back? No. Am I interviewing myself? Yes. Who is it? John McCain. Dave Letterman used to have a bit where it was John McCain interviewing himself, and he just, you know, am I concerned about this? Yes. Will we do something to make it better? Of course. Now would be a good time to kind of reiterate the point I've made quite a bit. You know, like right around now, and I guarantee it's going to happen unless I watch this webinar, they won't do it. But somebody's going to email me and say, Dave, I'm out. I'm like, okay, do you mind telling me what's wrong? What could I have done better? Because well, I can't make any money. This has happened many times, so I'm not making fun of any one individual. And of course, I'll be like, well, did you get that TFPM? You know, we've got nice little open profits there. No, I didn't get that one. What about KGC? No, I didn't get that one. KTOS? No. How about the TGen we just talked about? Did you get that one? No. But I got those two turds you recommended, and so far I'm losing my ass. And so I'm out of here. It's like, well, you know, nobody's that good, right? Nobody's 100% accurate. I would rather be less accurate and make more money than more accurate and make less money. And I think Eckhart has done he's got a few quotes about that. And I think the percent correct is actually can be inverse to longer term performance, because if you have a high percent correct, there's a good chance you're going to blow up. Okay. Anyway, shifting gears, any questions on all that? Just let me know on the fly. I know YouTube's about a minute behind, but I'll catch up to you first chance. All right, we had an Ogre this week. And I actually lost money on this trade. I got a little anxious and got in a little early. Whether or not I did the wrong thing, I probably need to do a little more forensics on it, but probably would be the answer there. But after I lost money on it, I decided that, well, it still looks pretty good. I think I'm going to go in for a second stab. And I did end up buying some options. But anyway, so I posted this chart to my Facebook group. There was the entry, there's a stop. With an opening gap reversal, just real quick, without going into a long lesson on them because we've talked about them quite a bit. You want to have something that looks really good, something that you would take as a pullback in and of itself, okay? As a general statement. And what you're looking for is that reversion to the mean move back the direction of the trend on that gap, okay? So what happens on a gap, if you think about it, is there's a, I guess, a vacuum as far as bids are concerned, or nobody wants to buy the stock, everybody wants to dump it. So whoever the market maker is, he's going to lower his price as low as he possibly or even legally can. I don't know if there's a legal thing to it. And knowing that if he's buying these shares that you're trying to push onto him, he wants to make money. He's got to feed his family, right? So he wants to make sure that he can buy it at a low enough price that he can flip it out later in the day at a higher price. So you're kind of jumping in with the market maker on these opening gap reversal type of trades. And when you're doing that, you want to be looking for, it's kind of somewhat of the opposite in some ways of what we're normally looking for in the core methodology. We're looking for the TGen, which is a hot IPO. I don't know if I showed, I think I showed that one earlier. Yeah. So TGen, which is a hot IPO, or Kaitos, which is in defense and hot sector. And those are kind of medium cap to small cap stocks. But in the opening gap reversal, you want a lot of liquidity, okay? You want a lot of people that are trapped on the wrong side of the market looking to dump. And then you're looking for, obviously, the bottom fishers to come in and the market makers to looking to be again on the side of the market maker. And then all that creates a vacuum back up sometimes. Anyway, I did pick up some options on this, and that's another one of those minimal things I probably need to put in here for the more advanced traders. Always check your options, because I lost hundreds of dollars per account on this thing, where I could have put in like a fourth of that amount and just bought options. Okay. And I did flip out some options this morning on this one because they were cheap enough. They were like 30 cents each. Okay. And you got to be careful if you end up in an S&G trading, but I thought it was worthwhile. But getting back to the stocks you want, your ogres, and again, go to watch the prior presentations. But you want a well-known company, okay? If it's a thin stock and nobody's heard of it, the people who are trapped on the wrong side of the market may have dumped, and you might not have any buyers waiting in the wings, okay? But if it's a big thick stock, and we don't know who's going to be buying it, right? But let's say you're an institution and AMD has been one of the hottest stocks out there, okay? Nice longer term trend or whatever. So you want that stock in your portfolio, but you forgot to buy it or whatever. You get a big gap lower, you can rush in and buy that stock at a bargain, so to speak, okay? And that could be one of the people that are looking to trade on those opening gaps like that, of many. Now, one thing in more recent years, and I probably should pay more attention to it. Again, maybe this is another million little things, but is Ogre Plus One. Ogre, by the way, is opening gap reversal. One of my clients named that. I don't remember which one, but it stuck because it just made so much sense. Just put a little Ogre guy on there. But anyway, so Ogre Plus One is just, you have a gap yesterday that doesn't really materialize, but the next day it begins to take off. And years ago, I helped somebody with a trading service, and we actually have one client that didn't look at the setup on the day that was recommended. He took them the next day. Now, this was a day trade service, so whatever was recommended was made to trade as a day trade on the following day. But we had one client that it was a fax service back then, so he would literally put yesterday's fax, turn down, face down on his trading desk or whatever, and the next day he'd flip it over and trade it. And that was kind of a valuable lesson for us to learn too, is maybe take a second look at some of these things. And the Ogre Plus One could be really cool. And it finally gets going, but everybody kind of forgot about it. And then when it begins to take off again, all of a sudden, maybe these people rush back in. And so that's what's, knock on wood, is happening today. It looks like I might recoup some of my losses on that. But yeah, I was probably a little too aggressive on this one. But once it did its opening gap reversal gyrations, or opening gap gyrations, I should say, then this is when I put it in Facebook with an entry above here and a stop down here. My Facebook group is Dave Landry's Trend Traders. You do have to be at least a gold member of my website to participate. We've got some really good traders in there. And I also am in there putting out occasionally recommend a trade. And I also remind my peeps to do things that I've talked about, such as take a setup. I need to remind myself sometime. But anyway, open a gap reversal plus one. I think this is something that you should pay attention to. If you're a little bit more advanced as a trader, these open a gap reversals, they don't come along every day, but if you just kind of chip away at it, eventually you find some pretty cool ones. And that's that second day one can really work. And what I need to do, there's so many things I want to do, but what I need to do is I need to make sure I'm paying, you know, this could be another million little things. I need to look at that opening gap reversal list and put the ones that are interesting, write the ones that are interesting down, and the next day check back on the ones that I don't trade just in case they take on the second day. And that might be the kind of the, what's the old saying? The early bird gets the worm, second mouse gets the cheese. It might be a second mouse type of trade. And just one more thing about the original trade that I lost money on, and then this is the post that I put into Facebook for, again, an entry here, stop here. It never did trigger. So Kevin Haggerty years ago told me that when they get a new guy in the office, I don't know if I've said this before, but it's worth repeating, they don't let him take first signals, okay? They give him a list of patterns or setups he's going to trade, and he's not allowed until he gets his feet wet to take the first signal. So he takes a second signal, okay? So that's kind of the second mouse type of setup. So you wait for a trigger and then you wait for a re-trigger on something. Now, of course, if you're a little bit more advanced in trading, you want to take that first trigger because sometimes it'll trigger and not look back. And those can be your best trades. However, if you're newer to trading, you want to get some wins under your belt. I was thinking about this before I went live. You want to catch, if you're trading the core methodology, you've got to catch a KTOS and a KGC and a TGEN, and I hate to say hope, but hopefully one of those three or some of the other ones were long will turn into a longer term trend, a much, much longer term trend. I mean, we've been in a few for a few months. I want to be in those for a few years. And once you get a few of those under your belt, you're like, aha, this could actually work. And that's vitally important. So if you were to try to do like this ogre trading, maybe the second signal would be the way to go. And then maybe if you wanted to specialize a little bit, maybe you could do ogres plus one. And you know, maybe my next life, okay, I'll look for open a gap reversals. And if I don't see any, it'll be the next day. I'll have that list printed off or write it down, whatever I'm looking at. And next day I'll look at them. And if nothing triggers and nothing happens, then I sail off into the sunset or do whatever I'm going to do in retirement. Who am I kidding? I'm not going to walk away from these screens. But anyway, my wife might want me to do that at some point. I'm not going to get into Landry 100. We got too much other stuff going on, but I will just briefly touch upon it. The point that I've been making lately is speculation is alive and well. Everyone thinks when they become a trader, something's going to happen and bam, you're a trader. But the reality is it's a million little things that will make you a trader. And this has been a wonderful series for me from a selfish standpoint, because I've been recognizing these little mistakes, forcing me to recognize these little mistakes and things to pay attention to, things I might forget to do. And it's just, it's a million little things. And you really have to pay attention. And it's a lot easier said than done. I could show you some of these great setups and I could show you how to recognize them and you can go off on your own. You could do it, but will you remember to put an order in? Okay. Will you remember not to get too excited one way or the other? Will you remember that life might be effing with you, okay? Will you remember when the dog needs to go out to place an order before the dog goes out? Or not be just something stupid like it's a dog's got to go out. I can't decide whether I want to be in this market or not, but let me just pop in with a few shares. Let me go take care of the dog, then I'll come right back. Stuff like that will really get you in a lot of trouble. But anyway, it really is a million little things. Anyway, last week I talked about number 408,552, forget about fundamentals, buy hot stocks. And there's a couple things I want to follow up with on that one. So I saw a meme similar to this, and I recreated it with Image Flip. And the one on the right said good company. I think the one on the left said hot stocks. And last week I made the case that I would much rather be going after the hot stuff, stocks and the hot stuff, than the good companies. And I talked about the fact that 95% of mutual funds didn't beat the S&P, and they have all this resources, all these resources and things that you and I will never have. Supercomputers, they can pick up the phone, call the CEO, hundreds on staff, etc. But anyway, I grabbed this value list off the internet, and you can see, other than one or two of them, actually three, they were all pretty negative for the year. And here's one that's down 90%. Now, keep in mind that before it was down 90%, it was down 50%. So these stocks are likely all in downtrends for the most part, except for a couple. But they have great fundamentals, okay? Now, one thing I wanted to show you last week that I didn't really spend much time on is the PE of the so-called value stock. So the, as you just saw a second ago, the PE right now, the S&P 500 is 27. And looking at the PE of these stocks, you can see they're pretty low for the most part. And I don't see any one of these that's anywhere near what the market's PE is, okay? But if you take a look at these stocks in the Landry 100, you have a lot of negative PEs, which means the company is losing money. And then when a company is making a little bit of money, you can see the PEs are just absolutely absurd, such as this one down here, excuse me, such as a software stock down here, a PE of 337%. But hey, that's just crazy. Well, it is crazy. But I would much rather buy a company that had some sort of excitement and promise for the future than some stodgy company because it had a good PE and I'm going to sit on it for 20 years and hopefully it'll take off. But in the meantime, you know, with all predictions about the future, a lot of shit can happen between now and then, right? A lot of things can happen in the meantime. So that's why not a big fan of the value investing or trying to buy quote unquote good companies. You're better buying hot stocks. And you know what? Sometimes those hot stocks become value stocks, okay? And let's not get too excited just yet, but maybe what's the gold stocks we're in now? We're in KGC, and what's the other one? KGC and TFPM, okay? So maybe they'll mine so much gold, all of a sudden they're a value. I don't know, okay? But who knows, right? You can make a lot of money on promise. Write that down. And that's why when I did my IPO course, I was trying to come up with a name for it. I was like, IPO is like the promise of the future because there's some excitement there. You want to buy things with excitement behind them, okay? You don't have time to sit around and wait for something that may or may not happen. You can look at price and see what's happening now and trade price. But anyway, the point I wanted to make last week is that these value stocks have very, very low PEs, whereas stocks we're trading have non-existing PEs, negative PEs, or extremely high PEs. Now, just a little follow-up, too. Last week, I talked about the fact that I spent Saturday morning, well, Saturday before, under the house crawling around, and because the shower floor was rotting out, okay? The guy that put the floor in could have just put in one little collar of the waterproofing, the Curdy, Would have taken him an extra 2 minutes, and this we wouldn't be in the situation here. And I was make a note to this, a million of things about marriage, you know, maybe don't mention everything to your wife. Cause she's like, how's the show? I said, I think it was pretty good. I was like, you know, me, whatever's happened in my life, I bring it back around to trading. And last week I talked about the fact that how am I going to pay for this? It's like, well, I might have to sell some stock to pay for this. And I tried to explain to her the extraneous influence of whatever. And all she heard was sell stock, buy some. She goes, so you mean you could sell some stock and put a pool in the backyard? And I'm like, oh shit, yeah. So that would be another little extraneous influence, should I cave in to put a pool in, that could affect a company, right? Or a company stock price, right? Because I might sell because I want money, need money, or the wife wants a pool, whatever the case may be. So I just want to kind of throw that out there real quick. Now, here's one I want to get into heavily. And I think we're just going to scratch the surface this week, but I have pages and pages and started tweeting out a lot of this stuff already. And originally, I think the idea may have come from Roy Longstreet. He wrote I usually keep it on my desk or near my desk. He wrote a great little book called Viewpoints of a Commodity Trader. If you go to daveliner.com/books-2-read, you'll get a list of books I would strongly recommend you read, and that's one of them on there. The original one's worth a lot more than the reprint. I gave away my original. I bitched about that so much. One of you guys, Mike P, sent me a new one, which was very nice of him, so I can quit bitching. Anyway, you want to pray the trader's prayer, and it's part one of many. I never thought I would watch Yellowstone. I just can't stand how whiny Kevin Costner is. And I put it off forever and finally got encouraged to watch it or whatever. Or my wife started watching. I forget what happened. But it's actually pretty good. And he's not too whiny in the series. So I changed my tune a little bit about that. There's actually been comedians that make fun of Dancing with Wolves, you know. Day 1006, I wake up. The sun rising. I was like, oh, geez. Anyway, he did say something. His character, John Dutton, said something. John Dutton has a big ranch called Yellowstone. That's not too far away from Yellowstone National Park. This is all fictional, by the way. And he was at this banquet, and he gave a little speech, a little prayer. And he said, God, give us rain and a little luck, and we'll do the rest. Well, I think a trader's prayer could be something similar. Okay. And the overall trader's prayer would be, give us a trend and the wisdom to follow it, and we'll do the rest, right? Well, this thing is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I have a digital tablet, as I often say, that I absolutely love. And I just keep writing these things in here as I think of them. Dear God, or whoever you may pray to, the universe, the 8-pound, 10-ounce baby Jesus, your internal stupid self, market gods, Yahweh, whoever, give us the strength to see what is, knowing that it often isn't what I want it to be. Okay, give me the strength to see what is, knowing that it often isn't what I want it to be. As Greg Morris has said, and I've talked about this many times, a market only makes new highs 4% of the time. You know, go back and look at that. Was it KGC that died out forever? Okay, 2 months of not doing anything. Okay, but stick it out, follow your plan. If you stopped out, you stopped out. So the point I'm making there is, yeah, it's going sideways, but it hasn't stopped me out. So I need to follow that plan. So for 2 months, that stock was not doing what I wanted it to do. And then it finally took off. Okay. Not that they all will do that, but the point I'm trying to make is 90% of the time, at least, the market is not going to be doing what you want it to do. Okay. And it's hard to see what is. And that's one of the biggest lessons that I repeat over and over again. Help me avoid the temptation of trying to outsmart the market by buying oversold or selling overbought unless I am taking partial profits at those predefined levels as part of the trading plan. The green line in the charts that I showed a little while ago would be the IPTs, obviously, initial profit targets. Give me the focus to review and follow last night's work today. So SLDP, I've been coming in. I've been putting alerts on it. I've been putting multiple alerts, okay? Well, a couple of those alerts I think got taken out yesterday and I forgot to replace them. Guess what? Stock took off without me this morning. Now I've got in because I have to get in as part of the service, right? Like I just said, I take the trades I recommend, but I got in a little late on that one. So we'll see how that shakes out. Remind me to place orders at levels where I should take action based on this analysis. Well, that's one of the other million little things, but that needs to become part of a prayer. I think if you actually take these things that you need to do and say, dear God, or 8-pound, 10-pound, what is it? 8-pound, 10-ounce baby Jesus, or whatever. That's from Talladega Nights, FYI. I like to think of my Jesus in a tuxedo t-shirt because, like, I'm here to party. Anyway, so remind me to place orders at levels where I should take action based on this analysis. And remind me to place alerts near those levels. So I had alert, and I didn't put the actual order in because I like to usually, it depends on what's going on. Today I should have put in an actual order, but usually I like to put an alert at that level, and then if it reverses right at that level, then maybe I'll sit back a little bit, or if it reverses hard, then I'll put that hard stop in to enter me into the trade. Okay. And remind me to place alerts near levels where action needs to be taken. So my alerts all got hit. And so this is this week's big one, a big admission of guilt. All right, let's jump into crypto. If you have any questions or anything, feel free to type them in. CRO is crypto.com, I think. And as I've been saying, sometimes when it's going straight up, you could just buy the ones that are going straight up. Now in crypto, you could also do Landry Light pullbacks, generic pullbacks, TKOs. Technical analysis, okay? And I think that us older guys who have been around a little while, been trading for a while, I think we have an unfair advantage when it comes to crypto, as I've said many times before, because we know how it works and we don't get sucked into it, okay? As much. I mean, there's always that little danger of that little demon there a little bit, but we won't get sucked in as much. And there was one guy back when building my house 5 years ago who we got the cypress from for the post and the hood over the stove and everything, and he started getting into crypto, and he texted me, he goes, I made 40% last month, is that about what I could expect? And I'm like, no. I've done presentations where I've did the math on that, and at 40% a month, even with like $1,000 within, I forget how many years it is, so don't quote me, but within a few years, I think you'll be at 181 million, and then it's not long after that until you reach $1 billion. So no, you cannot expect that, and I don't know if he's still trading or not, but I haven't heard from him in a long time, so I assume that his crypto career is over. But us people who aren't so new to trading, we know about money management, we know about emotions, we know about extraneous influences and all this other good stuff. We know to put our orders in, or our alerts in at least. I put an alert on one of these a little while ago. Thank you very much. That's a million little things. It's you need this constant reminding to do these things. And I think that's where the prayer is going to help. I'll try anything, to get more consistent. Yeah, you know? I don't want to come across like it's easy because it's not, okay? And that's, again, I've been faulted for saying it's not easy. You know, stop saying it's so hard. You know, it's like, well, it's not easy, but it's not as hard as we often try to make it. And that's why intelligence is not necessarily the most important thing when it comes to trading. But anyway, just regular generic setups, like a generic pullback like this, TKOs, Landry Light pullbacks. And one thing that I do quite often is just buying the breakouts in these things. Breakouts tend to fail in more efficient markets like stocks in general, but breakouts can work in IPOs and breakouts can work in crypto. But anyway, I just put it at like a 20% IPT. So this one was entered here. And this is, I threw this in my Facebook group a little late, but it was still viable when I put it in there. And I apologize to my peeps, said I'd get them out earlier. I put it at 20% IPT. Now in stocks, if you take a look at the archives, DaleLandry.com/archives, you'll see that there's different, it might be 20%, it might be 13%, 15%, depends on the volatility of the stock. And it might even be more in some of these wild and crazy stocks, like SLDP is probably 25%, okay, stop and initial profit target. The stop distance away is the same as the initial profit target. It's one for one. Before you negative expectancy system designers get your panties in a wad, that negative expectancy is beaten by occasionally catching the home run. But anyway, so if this hits 16, I'm going to unload half of it, and I'm going to put a small amount of money into Bitcoin, and that's part of my shitcoin to Bitcoin strategy. If you watch the methodology of that in action, you'll see a lot of that type of action happening. Here's one I just bought because it was going straight up, took profits, it was going straight up back here, took profits, and then just kind of hanging in there, see what happens. And then I don't want it to go to a negative, and then I'll probably trail a stop up and ride it for a while. Let's take a look at the movers today. Now that one might be a little late on that one. Let's see if we can find something. That's kind of interesting there. Even it's going straight up. And let's see, this one I was looking at earlier today. Zora, I was looking at this one. So here's a pullback. And look, I actually have an alert here. So if this thing alert triggers, I'll probably buy some of this. Nice little pullback. That's looking pretty good. And let's just go through a few more of these. We'll take a look at Bitcoin in 1 second too. So when Bitcoin is moving, Bitcoin is your bellwether. If Bitcoin's kind of hanging in there or ideally hitting new highs, then you could sometimes play this relative strength game where you just go through these and you look for the strongest pairs and just buy the strongest pairs with a little money management, of course, all right? So Bitcoin, if I can find it, there it is. It's having an okay day today, off its best levels. It's sort of a Landry-like pullback. It's a little wide and loose. Now, keep in mind that Bitcoin's becoming more efficient, but so far so good. It looks okay. It looks like it has a potential rally out of this. Ethereum has been doing really well lately. Look at this. Now, see, I missed this, okay? Shame, all right? I should have. Why did I miss this? I don't know. I know I didn't trade it. I hope at least I talked about it. Look how beautiful that is. Look at the Landry light here. Lows greater than moving average. And then it pulls back to the moving average. That's a textbook setup right there. Entries here, probably IPT right about where we are now. Look at that. So a million little things, Dave. Take a look at Ethereum. You know? Anyway, all right. Any questions of crypto? Let's hop into stocks real quick. And then we'll hop out to the... take a look at the market. And if you guys want me to talk about any individual stocks, let me know. All right, so here's the Landry 100. And there's a few stinkers today. There's a few stocks that are moving. SLDP is in there, up 73%. Now keep in mind, every one of these was put at brand new highs, okay? So Psy is up 167, MP's up 102%, and that was on 6/16. So let's see, what were we thinking on 6/16? 6/16 right there. So this was bought right there. You can see it did kind of fail miserably at first, but then it took off. Now, keep in mind, if they keep failing, let's see some stinkers in here. So like some of these will probably come out, like that one will come out today for sure. So they don't just all go straight up, but with 100 stocks, enough of them will go up if we flip this around to make it worthwhile. So all these stocks are up pretty big. Like that's one, there's one that'll probably come out there soon at, what is it, up 91%. So around this will probably come out maybe today or tomorrow. You know, it depends on whether or not it looks like this correction is over. But there's no money management in there. I'm just buying stocks that are making new highs. You can only do that if you're buying enough stocks, like 100 of them in this case, and this is just a hypothetical list here, or the market is very inefficient like crypto or IPOs. And I do have a buy at B pattern in IPOs, MTN, I think is one. Yeah, let's see, this was a buy at B. So here's a buy at B. John Ross in our Facebook group is a resident IPO expert. So he said he bought it on a buy at B and he flipped it out for a profit. And by the way, that spanking in after hours trading, now that's another million little things. In an inefficient market like IPOs, maybe I need to put in IPTs at a limit with a good to cancel order. Now I seem to remember going to put one in this one or maybe one other one like this one and it wouldn't accept it. So not all brokerages will accept the after hours orders. But anyway, in a case like this, sometimes you can just buy those breakouts, okay, with IPOs and again in crypto. All right, let's take a look at the overall market. And if you guys have any stocks you want me to look at, just type them in now. S&P 500, open a gap reversal today, a bit of a bummer. Sure would like to see it just keep on keeping on, make some new highs and not look back for a while. Now we did come down to tag that 30 EMA, that's technically a Lanyard-like pullback. We closed the gap and today is a bit of a bummer. Again, open gap reversal, but it's coming off its worst levels a little bit. As long as this prior peak holds, I'm not gonna get too excited. As long as this 30 EMA for the most part holds, again, I'm not getting too excited. NASDAQ Composite, same sort of action happening there. Two, the Rusty has had one heck of a time getting gone. And big fat open a gap reversal there. It doesn't look horrible, but I sure would like to see it get through this short-term and not so short-term overhead supply. And while we're wishing, maybe going to make all-time highs would be even better. Some areas have broken out and unfortunately have come back in. Cyber computing, you can see, is one of those. It's getting whacked pretty hard today. So that's an area of concern. Financials, open a gap reversal, outside day down so far. Prior peak is here. They broke out past the prior peak. Then it came right back in. So that's another one that's a bit of a bummer. Gold stocks have been doing really well. As you can see, so far so good. Nice little breakout intact after a lot of consolidation. And again, the market doesn't always go up, obviously. If it did, then everybody would be doing it, right? Gold, the commodity's lagging a little bit, but that's okay. It's not too bad. It's not too far from these brand new highs. So better than the poke in the eye there. But again, gold stock's doing really well. Biotechnology is trying to find its way. It's trending lately. It has a lot of overhead supply to deal with based on IBB. I am seeing some strength here. I think one of the stocks in the one of the mystery charts today is a biotechnology. So I have been seeing some setups. Pot stocks have been bottoming out. It seems to be more of a process than an event, but that's okay. So these guys are beginning to bottom out. Could make a big, huge picture, cup and handle, whatever. They've probably already bow tied. I don't know if I have bow ties handy. Maybe right there. There you go. Yeah, look, so there's your bow tie. Okay, they're pushing toward that 50 simple moving average. So far, so good there. So the bottom line is, overall, the market looks pretty good. I guess there's always something to worry about. Some of these areas, again, like financials, have come back in. Utilities have been doing well as of late. Nice little day today. But utilities are starting to act more like a momentum stock than sleepy old utility stocks. But other areas like Sky Computing stalling short of their prior highs. And again, some areas have come back in. So all in great in the world, but I kind of like to see it as glass half full. And the market's not really running on all eight cylinders, but maybe when some of these weaker areas kick it into gear, that would be the catalyst we need to get this thing really, really going. Little wishful thinking maybe, but it could happen. So for now, I don't see enough to worry about, but definitely pay attention and let's see if some areas start breaking down. And as usual, we're always looking at all these things all the time. All right, any questions, any individual stock picks? I think we've kind of eliminated the stock picking because most everyone here is in the Facebook group. And then when I move the shows, it's funny. It's like everybody's like, move the shows to nighttime so I can come watch, you know? And it didn't really seem to affect the attendance that much. And then a lot of people are like, I wish you still did them during the day. So I don't know what time is good for you guys. Let me know. I'll probably keep them on a daytime schedule for now. I know it's summertime. Everybody's busy with other stuff too. But hey, you know what? By the way, this has been a pretty good summer, hasn't it? Sell a man, go away. No, that's actually not true. Tom McClellan gave a great speech, and he said that things that rhyme tend to be believed, such as if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit, right? Well, selling May. Okay, where did May start here? May, this is the last thing, and I'll go ahead and wrap things up. All right, so that was right there. So sell in May and go away. And that was a pretty good, that's been a pretty damn good run, okay? So 14, 50%, that's amazing, okay? So be careful of those things. Tom McClellan's point was that it's actually more of a June thing than a May thing. But on any of these adages, be super careful because you might have the best summer of your life. And knock on wood, we've been a pretty good summer. You know, it ain't over yet, right? But it's been a pretty good summer. And let's just see what happens on that. Is SLDP taking off again? Oh, thank God. Good. Okay, maybe we'll get the IPT today. Somebody just chatted in to Facebook. Maybe we'll get the IPT today. That'd be great. But yeah, be careful. The other thing too is you don't have a representative sample if you're doing like a sell in May. You don't have that many summers. I know you're like, what about 100 years? You know, that's a dangerous game to play. Because, okay, say there is some selling man go away. Well, what happens when you miss a summer like this and you miss all those great stocks that we just looked at? Well, that might make your year. It just takes one or two trades to make your year, and you might miss them. So selling man go away, forget about that. All right, any questions? Going once, going twice. I'm sure we're thanking all you guys and girls for attending today. Anything unanswered, Dave at DaveLandry.com. I'll see most of you guys and girls in the Facebook group in a little while. Everyone else, have a great weekend and hope to see you again next week. And of course, may the trend be with you. Thank you. You're welcome.